All right, so we're just kind of getting things lined up today. We have a couple guests going to be hopefully in the studio soon. That's Tim Reese. And then Shane Pauley is going to be calling in, and Shane Cobb Adams to discuss strategy and tactics. But explain to people, because I certainly would like to know more, what is Nai Aupuni?
When I think about that word, I want to throw up.
Well, what does it mean? What does it mean for
Nai
folks?
Nai means to grab or snatch, and kingdom, and Aupuni means kingdom. So there you go. It's self-explanatory. They are trying to steal or snatch our kingdom away from us.
So who is doing this? How did this all originate?
Well, picked by the governor after he did an Act 195, which was to do a Hawaiian national role.
And this was Abercrombie?
Abercrombie. Okay. And it all stems way back to the Akaka Bill, because in the Akaka Bill, which is another heva movement by the government to steal our sovereignty, it says in the Akaka Bill that we need to do a Native Hawaiian roll to register people so they can vote for a nation. So we killed that. The Akaka Bill is like dead in the water, as far as I know, in Congress. So now Abercrombie, after leaving Congress, coming home, getting elected as governor, went ahead and did a Hawaiian version of the Akaka Bill. And that's what he called the Hawaiian National Roll Act, which was Act 195, adopted also by the Hawaii legislators. How come these legislators, they don't know what's happening? Why do they, you know, make stupid decisions like that is puzzled me.
Well, one question I have, which I really would like to understand better, is on the one hand, you're talking about the nation of Hawaii, a kingdom, a sovereign kingdom, with all kinds of treaty relations with dozens of countries around the world.
Yep.
And then on the other hand, you're talking about Native Hawaiians. So I don't understand. What's the difference between a Native Hawaiian and Hawaiian national?
Oh, big difference. Yep. Native Hawaiian, I'm not a Native Hawaiian, capital N or small N. I believe that capital N Hawaiians are people that have 50% blood or more.
According to who?
According to the Department of Hawaiian Homelands.
Which is the United States?
It's a federal-funded Hawaiian program.
Okay, so what does that have to do with it?
Because it's a federal act. Hmm. The DHHL, right?
But the federal government is not in charge of the Hawaiian people or the Hawaiian kingdom, so they are
in that case.
That's just their opinion, though.
Oh, well, okay, so you're alluding to the fact that, yes, in fact, they are a fake government, and they are illegally occupying our nation. Yeah, right. So, Tim? Oh, wait, let me introduce. Yay! Our studio guest just arrived. It's Tim Reese. Thank you, Tim, for coming. How about introducing yourself and telling us where you're from, what you do, and what you know about Nai Aupuni?
Thank you for having me today on the show. What do I know?
My pleasure.
I know nothing. It's one of my favorite quotes. I know nothing, Socrates.
I know nothing.
I'm just here sharing my perspective, you know, on this very complex issue. I apologize for being a little late. You guys are tucked really far back here.
Oh, you couldn't find the studio at first.
Trouble, but this is my
secret
first
location.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm just an average day Joe. I'm a laborer on a farm, organic farm, keeps my slate clean. I don't feel like I'm contributing to some of the problems that are here in Hawaii.
Your roots?
My roots, I was flown here, not grown here. I was raised, that's how my wahine, my lady, refers to me. I was raised in the San Francisco Bay Area. I've moved to Kauai, or I've come to Kauai on three different occasions. The last time was 5 years ago. And that'll be the last time I make that move. My EV will rest here on this island. And it wasn't until this last time that I returned 5 years ago that I took an interest in looking at and defining for myself what it meant to be a Hawaiian. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't raised being in the San Francisco Bay Area, large ethnic Latinos in the area. I was often perceived as being Latino. I was always told by my mother that I was Hawaiian, but I was always seen in society as most likely being Latino. So as an adult coming back and having to find out for myself, you know, it started with the Mo'oku Auhau, the genealogy. Going through our history, a lot of stuff I heard through family members. And going through that history, I came across a lot of interesting individuals within our family and finding their place in Hawaiian history, you know, back in the 19th century, 1800s. It ultimately led me to a very interesting theory based on Dr. Keanu. Doing my genealogy brought me to Dr. Keanu Sai's doctoral dissertation and his belief that the Hawaiian kingdom continues to exist. And that was really mind-blowing for me. I mean, it floored me. I couldn't believe this guy was saying this. You know, I was always I'm a U.S. citizen. I was born on U.S. soil. You know, that's how I am a U.S. citizen. And what he was saying really changed my life. And that was about 4 years ago. I hadn't read a book in 14 years up until that point, but I really haven't been able to stop reading since I've been exposed to that information. And it really was just to get a better understanding of what this guy was saying. At first, you know, I was trying to prove it wrong and, you know, scouring through the U.S. Constitution and how treaties are created and the Senate needing confirmation.
Do you want to back up and just explain, like, what it was that you discovered or what information was he presenting?
He was presenting the argument that largely due to the fact that a treaty of annexation does not exist, that the Hawaiian kingdom continues to exist as a nation, as a fact of international law. And that was really, I was in the 50th state as far as I was concerned until I ran into that information, you know. And in reading his doctoral dissertation and hearing his argument, it became clear that it was really hard to refute what he was saying. You know, you start looking at U.S. history, the treaties used to acquire the territory that is now the United States, the Louisiana Purchase, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, and, you know, the Northwest Territories from Britain. It was the process in which...
Those are treaty signed between two sovereign nations who come to an agreement.
Exactly.
And they make a contract, you know, party A, party B, they shake hands, and then that's a deal. But that never happened
with us.
And that's basically what he was saying. So,
no,
you know,
deal.
It just raises questions. And that's why I started eating up books. It just, there were more and more questions that came up as I went down that path. So
there's no treaty of annexation. There is no such thing as ceded lands. And the Kingdom of Hawaii still exists. Those are truths. And how do we get the United States to admit the truth is my question.
And does it matter is my question.
Does it matter?
Yeah,
then we're going to keep being suppressed by them if we don't do something about getting the truth to be admitted by them. You know what? I would love to have a friendly relationship with the U.S. and you know, let's sit down on the table and talk this over.
And I think
as nation to nation.
That is the future. You
that
know, it,
is,
it,
yeah.
The U.S. people aren't our enemy. You know, like I said, I'm a U.S. citizen. I was ignorant of this. You know, it. Maybe the government of the United States has to get their things straightened out. They need to come into compliance. You know, and one thing through the history, that's the problem, is non-compliance. That is what has been the problem since the overthrow, is non-compliance.
By
the United States and their executive agreements.
Oh, their compliance to their laws.
And,
okay.
Yeah, so
right.
It's a tough situation. There's a lot of questions, I think, that need to be answered.
Like, for one, because we are an occupied nation, they should be using our laws to govern us as an occupied nation, which they are totally not doing, right?
I agree.
Right.
So maybe you guys could explain about what are these recent efforts
with Na'iau Puni. Let's get back to Na'iau Puni.
And then also explain why it is that their whole election process is all jammed up right now.
I,
oh, Go ahead.
You know, I feel Naiapuni is really a desperate act. You know, I think there is this uprising of the truth, basically. More and more people every day are being exposed to this truth that is irrefuted. It's mm-hmm. been tried in the courts, and no one can prove that it's false. So it's starting to catch people's attention. And I think Naiapuni is a desperate attempt. If you look at its genealogy, I like to take it all the way back to 1992 when the United Church of Christ made an official apology to the Hawaiian people for the act of the missionaries. They dumped a bunch of money into a foundation called the Pu'a Foundation, which actually produced Dr. Kianosai's doctoral dissertation in a watered-down version in a book that I highly recommend to everybody, titled Uamau Ke'ea. It's mm-hmm. published and can be bought online from the Pu'a Foundation. But that was basically to start the reconciliation process mm-hmm. With Hawaiians for the role that their missionaries had in the overthrow of our government.
And did it happen?
Yeah, that's tough to say. The efforts that have come out of that, that puke, that book, is the best thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an ongoing process.
Reconciliation is just hanging out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Never even happened yet.
I think they're waiting for us.
Okay, give that website address to get that book again. What is it?
Well, I don't think you gave it out, but okay. You said it's the Pu'a Foundation.
Foundation,
and
yeah.
I believe it's puafoundation.org.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
But then after that apology comes the U.S. apology in 1993. We get Clinton and the U.S. Congress passing a joint resolution. We love those joint resolutions. passing the apology bill. And that starts a whole slew of questions from the state of Hawaii, you know, regarding that. It's a federal act or a congressional act in joint resolution. And they start asking questions regarding the lands here in Hawaii. And there are court cases where Hawaii is asking, you know, what does this mean to us?
Mm-hmm.
And from those questions comes the efforts of Akaka and the Akaka bill.
Mm.
And we know what that happened to that. That was shot down, never made it through Congress, you know.
Yeah.
And
but that also brought up the situation of our lands, our land claims.
Definitely.
And so I think one of the things that did come out of that apology was that they appointed, I think, someone in the University of Hawaii to do a land inventory of all of our lands here. So I don't know what the outcome of that is. I put out the question several times. What happened to that land inventory information from UH? And I hope somebody will enlighten me and let me know what did happen, because I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I think we're all in the dark on that one.
You know, I did want to take one short pause here because it is December 7th. I would like to, you know, take a moment to acknowledge what happened here in our own country on December 7th in 1941, I believe. Yeah. I was only 2 years old, so I don't remember it, but I was here. And I do remember that we used to put black cloths over our windows here on Kauai. I guess that was because after there was a Japanese pilot that landed on Niihau. So anyway, paying tribute to all those souls that were lost on that day in December, an infamous day in history, by the words of the President Roosevelt, who was president at that time, I remember. I do remember the radio broadcast, too. Even at 2 years old, I do remember that. President Roosevelt on the radio declaring war. So to any descendants or family of people that were lost in that war, in that bombing of Pearl Harbor, our condolences to you. And we know that we weren't the enemy that they were bombing. We are a neutral and peaceful country. So shame on the United States military, because it was them that they were after.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think the Japanese would have ever been here if the U.S. military wasn't.
That's right. So, okay.
So on the phone right now, Shane Cobb Adams has called in.
Oh, right.
And I'm going to bring him up. And
okay.
Can you hear us, Shane?
Yes, I can hear you guys.
How's it?
Hi.
Okay. Can you define what a Hawaiian national is?
A Hawaiian national. The Hawaiian term for Hawaiian national is Kanaka Hawaii.
Maika'i.
And that term really came into use after 1843 because they needed a term to describe the subjects of the kingdom. Because after 1843, the kingdom was organized under a constitution, and so the term Kanaka Hawaii came into use as the legal juridical term to define a Hawaiian national, a Hawaiian citizen, also known under Hawaiian law as a Hawaiian subject, and what those vested rights of a Hawaiian subject would be. And they use that term to differentiate between the ethnic national, which is Kanaka O'ezi, and the non-ethnic national. So you could be Egyptian or French by ethnicity, but still be a Hawaiian subject, i.e. a Hawaiian national.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Genizized naturalized, you know, you marry a Hawaiian subject, you apply for nationality, you know, you become a Hawaiian national once you're approved, just like immigration and naturalization into any country. And so Kanaka Hawaii is a term that refers to the Hawaiian national, which means not ethnicity, but nationality. And so its host characteristics are allegiance to the Hawaiian kingdom.
Exactly.
And in response to that duty, you receive the rights of protection under Hawaiian law, and Hawaiian law, even while you're abroad in other countries like Switzerland and the other 80 countries that the Hawaiian kingdom had treaty relationships with.
Maika'i, do you have to apply, if you are not Hawaiian, to be a Hawaiian national? How do you, you know,
state? So under the constitutional law of the Hawaiian kingdom, you can acquire the nationality much in the similar way that Americans actually acquire nationality. So I know Tim's in the studio today. Aloha, Tim.
Aloha, Shane.
Hey, how's it? So I was listening to you guys earlier, and that idea of being flown here, not grown here, is interesting because, your wife has touched on something that's very sensitive in terms of nationality. Because American law and Hawaiian kingdom law are similar in terms of nationality, in the sense that if you're born of a Hawaiian national, or if you're born of an American national, it doesn't matter where you're born in the world, you still acquire, that baby, when it's born, acquires the nationality of its parent by what they call parentage.
Exactly.
And so my mother, who was actually, you know, raised in Anahola on our family land that was given to us by Kaumuali'i himself before the Mahele, she was born in San Francisco, like you, Tim, because my grandma played music promo tours. And so my mom was actually born on the U.S. mainland. But because her mother, my grandmother, was a Hawaiian subject, she acquired the Hawaiian nationality. And because she was born on American soil, my mother acquired the American nationality. Because American law says that babies born on American soil acquire American nationality. And that's one of the ways in which Hawaiian and American law are different. So if you're just born within the 4.1 million acres of Hawaii, you don't necessarily attain the Hawaiian national identity unless you're born of a someone who already has that. So my mom actually is a dual subject. She's a dual citizen. My mother has American nationality and Hawaiian nationality.
I'm learning a lot.
There's interesting nuances on how nationality is acquired and passed on. And
so can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I've lived here in Kauai for 13 years. I was flown here. I chose to fly here because it's such an amazing place and it called to me. But so much of what I've heard in the last, you know, dozen years or so about Hawaiian sovereignty has to do with koko and about bloodlines and blood quantum and being a Hawaiian native. And that seems like that is important, but that seems distinct from what you're saying about being a Hawaiian national. How come you think the conversation has drifted into genetics versus citizenship?
Well, that's what America wants. You know, the easiest way to divide and conquer people is to focus on something like ethnic extraction and creating divisions between people, when really what we should be talking about is a national identity that brings people together.
Because all this talk about blood quantum, it seems like it just divides the community in half.
Yeah,
it does. Well, and the blood quantum was designed to do that. Under the Hawaiian kingdom, when the chiefs and the Ahaula in the early 1800s started to talk about codifying Hawaiian laws under a Western system of, you know, basically judicial and what do they call it? Oh, my brain's a little foggy.
Constitution?
Statutory law, sorry.
Okay. Judicial and statutory laws.
Yeah, they talked about it. It's in the records of the King and the Privy Council. And so when they decided what native tenant rights was going to look like, i.e. what the native tenant, the Kanaka Oizi, would have rights to in terms of land and vestments, they talked about it, and they had entertained this idea that, you know, you got five fingers on your hand, so you'd have the full Hawaiians, the half Hawaiians, the quarter Hawaiians, the 1/8 and the 1/16 Hawaiians, and they would qualify for native tenant rights. And in the end, what they decided was that that was all rubbish, it was much too divisive, and as long as you could prove that you were of someone who was Kanaka Oizi, whether it be 1/100, 1/1000,
or a drop,
as long as you were part of the Kanaka Oizi, you would have native tenant rights. And so they got rid of the blood quantum requirement altogether.
Mm-hmm.
The blood quantum requirement that we see today in VHHL is from America and their imposition on us, because when they decided they were going to give us the, you know, the VHHL and Hawaiian Homelands Act, the first thing they did with it was put a blood quantum on it to divide Hawaiians.
Exactly.
I just wanted to remind people that Prince Kohio had presented a 1/32nd, which is roughly 3% blood quantum.
Right.
And they didn't give him 12. They didn't give him 25.
Mm-hmm.
They stuck with 50%. I mean, that's pretty significant. It's a pretty clear message.
And I think it's also much, much higher than any blood quantum for any of the other Native Americans in the mainland.
And the strategy was that they would hope that all the 50%ers and more people would die.
Exactly.
And then there would be no more Hawaiians.
By their definition.
By their definition.
By their definition. Yeah.
Wow. What a tricky...
I've wanted for a long time.
Yeah.
That's what this Nadi Alpuni is really about, you know. We have been able to extinguish our rights to our title to 4.1 million acres of Hawaiian Islands, and they're trying to limit those rights and get rid of them as much as they can.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks. We're going to get back to Na'i Aupuni and what the standings of it is right now, according to the Supreme Court and according to Grassroots Institute and all of that. But we need to take a station break, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Aloha, I'm Pat Durkin with your KKCR Beach and Ocean Safety Tip for today. The safest places to swim are at beaches with lifeguards. On Kauai, we have 7 lifeguard stations. On the North Shore, they are located at Haena Beach Park and the Hanalei Pavilion. On the East Side, lifeguards are at Kailia Beach Park and Lydgate Park. South to West Side locations are Poipu Beach Park, Salt Pond Park, and Kekaha Beach Park. These stations are staffed 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Always check in with lifeguards no matter where you plan to swim. Conditions can change rapidly. For more information about today's ocean conditions on Kauai, visit kauaiexplorer.com. With today's Beach and Ocean Safety Tip, I'm Pat Durkin for KKCR Radio. Have fun and be safe.
I think the step that a lot of people are looking for is, hey, no more spraying. Ta-da! I think you get a lot of people to be really happy about that.
And does anybody want to talk about Aloha?
So, yeah, we're back. Is it brief messages? Thanks to Mr. Durkin for the ocean safety report. That's always good to know. When in doubt, do not go out.
All righty.
Good and advice.
Shane, are you still there?
I am.
All right, on. Okay, back to Na'i'au Puni now. The Supreme Court, they stopped the counting of the ballots. And was that based on because it was a race-based election?
I believe it was. The Supreme Court upheld the single justice's injunction to stop the counting of the ballots because they felt that the current appeal to the Ninth Circuit, because actually they lost the last time, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're appealing to the Ninth Circuit now. But the justices concluded that there were enough merits of the case, i.e., the justices thought that Grassroots Institute, which in general I don't like.
Me too. Go ahead.
They partnered with some Hawaiians to pull this lawsuit off. There's enough merits of the case that the justices thought that they would win the appeal.
Mm-hmm. So, again, remind me, the first time we went to the Supreme Court, we did not get a judgment on in our favor, right?
Yes, Judge Sebring?
Yeah.
He ruled that they could, in fact, proceed with the election because the election was more, in his words, a private election and not a public one, whatever that means.
Huh.
But the appeal that they took to the Ninth Circuit was very strong, and so a single justice petitioned and issued an injunction to stop the counting of the ballots.
Was that Kennedy?
In the process.
I think it was Judge Kennedy, and then didn't I hear later that all the other judges also agreed? So it was a unanimous decision?
Yeah, it was a unanimous decision, and they believe that there's enough merits appeal that the appeal will be found successful, which is a good sign. The interesting thing to me is that the same camp of Hawaiians who've been putting together Na'i'au Puni, Robin and Jay Danner, Pamaki Kanahele,
Oha
and the Shaw. It's been interesting because I hadn't realized until recently that while they were pushing this Na'i'au Puni nation-building process, this Department of Interior and federal recognition process has been happening. And in my mind, they seemed like, a natural progression of things, because if you build a nation, then you get it recognized, right? That's the theory. But Aloha, come to find out, now that the Na'i'au Puni process has been, basically stuck in the mud, has said that, no, the Department of Interior federal recognition process is completely separate, and they're going to keep moving forward with federal recognition even though Na'i'au Puni is shut down. So that scares me right there.
Wow. Okay, so it's still a private election? But how can it be? Because if OHA is funding it, and all, it makes it more like a public election, doesn't it?
I completely agree.
And I think that's what the Supreme Justices are looking at, really. They received money through OHA, which is, it belongs to Hawaiian nationals, that money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they their creation has a specific mission created under the state of Hawaii. And so the monies that funded Naiaupuni came from a state entity.
Yes.
And their efforts are being, I mean, they've accessed a state-created role. The legislation of the state of Hawaii create pooled names, which is another issue. Names that did not give their consent to be on this.
That's one of the flaws, of many, many flaws.
And Naiaupuni accessed that list to do what they're doing. So, you know, it's just, like I said, I think it's an act of desperation. And we're seeing that. I mean, it's getting sloppy, and the justices are seeing that there's some serious problems here. And instead of doing what is right, this is what we're getting. We're getting Naiaupuni.
I wonder if OHA can take back their money.
Well,
they're not getting that money back. Most of it's been spent, I reckon.
Oh, gosh.
Well, Shane,
too
kinda
bad, OHA. OHA, you would dig yourself into a hole, man. Go ahead, Tim. What?
You know, Shane kind of touched on something that is, I guess, relatively new on some of the developments with the Department of the Interior in OHA that I'm not fully aware of and educated on, but it sounded like, Shane, you were alluding to OHA moving forward with some sort of recognition through Department of Interior?
That's correct. So I talked to Dr. Goodyear, Noelani Goodyear Kaupua, who is a professor at UH, a friend of mine, and they actually put up student services, Native Hawaiian student services put up in Ahu at UH Manoa Queen Liliuokalani Student Service Center.
Mm.
The Native Hawaiian students there put up both in Ahu and put up a Hawaiian flag, you know, basically as kind of a social movement to let people know about the occupation, because the things up in Mauna Kea that UH has been a part of, you know, have been problematic, because at the heart of the Mauna Kea issue is who owns the land up on Mauna Kea.
Mm-hmm.
So the UH will say, well, it's state ceded land that was given to us, and we, you know, we're leasing it out. But when you look at the title search for the land, it was like you said earlier, Auntie, there was no ceded land. Ceded is a legal term that means that there was a treaty. And so without a treaty, there can be no ceded lands. No lands ceded lands transfer from one party to the next during a treaty obligation.
Right, and two parties need to agree.
Yes.
So we never agree.
Because there is no treaty, UH doesn't have clear title to those lands.
Mm-hmm.
And so students at UH Manoa Student Services put this ahu up, put a big bamboo pole with a Hawaiian flag up to let people know this.
And took down the American flag?
What is that?
Did they take down the American flag same time?
Well, what happened was
UH?
Somebody went and cut down the pole and took down the Hawaiian flag last night.
Oh!
Yeah, and so they had a whole thing on campus today because yeah, it's been interesting. There's, you know, sad, but there's been a backlash. They were talking about it up there today. I talked to a couple of them. But Dr. Goodyear Kaupua told me that it looks like the Shaw, which Robin Danner is head of now, and Kamaki Kanahele used to be the head of, which is the Sovereign Council of Hawaiian Homestead Associations. They don't represent all the Hawaiian Homestead Associations, and they actually represent probably a minority of actual Hawaiian homesteaders.
Well, good to know that.
And they're going to continue to push for federal recognition, even though Naiaupuni is done, because according to them, the two processes were completely separate, and it looks like Robin Danner now is going to push for federal recognition of a Native Hawaiian tribe, and that tribe is going to be the Shaw, and they're going to take all of DHHL Hawaiian homestead lands as land base for the Shaw. and a new tribe.
So here's a question. Here's a question I have, because again, I'm confused. So if there's an issue of state to state relations, and there's the question is being called of recognition, why is it the Department of the Interior? Why isn't it the Department of State? Because it seems like if you're going to have a discussion between two sovereign nations, nobody's interior to anything.
Exactly. And that's where I think part of this is very dangerous, because I feel personally that what America is looking for is to get a few greedy Hawaiians together and basically pay them off, give them some land and some money to say, hey, let's get these Hawaiians together. They're going to say they want to be part of America and be a federal subservient tribe with subservient sovereignty. The American term is inherent sovereignty. The Americans made that up to describe the sovereignty of the American Indians, which is not true sovereignty. And they're going to get a couple Hawaiians like Robin Danner and Jay Danner and Kamaki Kanahele to come together and say, well, we want to be a federally recognized American Indian tribe called the Hawaiian tribe. And then that'll give America a cover story to go and say, hey, look, these Hawaiians want to be a part of America. They don't want to be sovereign and independent. You know, they want to be on a reservation under American law. Because that's what I think they're headed for.
Yeah, I agree. That's what they're looking for. They're looking... You know, they kind of shot themselves in the foot back in the overthrow. They did away with our government. They sent our government into exile, which erased their ability to negotiate with the nation that it is the Hawaiian Kingdom. Roll it forward to today. We're so fragmented and dispersed as a national population, whether you know it or not, whether you know if you're a Hawaiian or not, and you have that nationality, to get a general consensus by the beneficiaries of that nation, you know, is a monumental task. And
citizens of the Hawaiian nation, most of them probably don't even know what their rights are.
That's exactly, I agree.
Well, which is a good segue into us doing another Halawai Aloha Aina event here on Kauai. Hey! Okay, we got to do it.
It was really great. I really did enjoy it, and I'm glad Donovan Pariza and Chehao Watson and Uncle Walter really could come up. Because I'm a firm believer. You know, I've worked with Dr. Kianesai for almost 20 years now, and he and I both agree that education of our people is the most powerful thing we can do, because the educated Hawaiian, you know, can't have the wool pulled over their eyes by Robin Danner or Jay Danner. The educated Hawaiian will know his rights and be able to defend them and articulate them.
And be very empowered.
Hawaiians, we'll see the occupation end.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for, is a unified, educated Hawaiian community. And that is not ethnically exclusive. That includes all ethnicities.
Right. I would like to make a shout out to any of our listeners there. If you may have any concerns or got a question, please don't feel free to call us. The number is 826-7771. 826-7771. Let's see if that red light will light up, which means a call will be coming in soon. Meanwhile, let's get back to where we were. Okay. We got to talk about a debriefing meeting that we need to do with our core planning group too, Shane, if we can. But let me put that aside right now. I need to make an announcement from Shane Polly, who was supposed to call in but has not called. So, therefore, I asked him, Shane, you know, what's happening now? What's our status with Na'iaupuni? Because Shane Hialani and a group of the Oahu people were the ones that supported us with our Halawai Aloha Aina event here. In fact, they held the first one. They were the originators on October 9th at UH, which I was very lucky to have gotten to go and be there. So then the message that we had to bring home was, okay, now we got to do them on every island. So, which led to our event then on November 20th at Wilcox School. But Shane also said that right now he is really pushing for our people to send in written testimonies to the DOI. And he started a new Facebook page, and it's called ainalahue.com. Capital A-I-N-A, small L, capital A-H-U-I.com. The deadline is December 30th, so try to get it in as soon as you can, folks. And you don't have to be Hawaiian, by the way. This is Kanaka Maoli and Kanaka Maoli allies. You can vote. And it's critical because the Danners are soliciting testimonies from civic clubs, homesteaders, CNHA, and right now they're our head with the testimonies. So Kanaka and non-Kanaka, we got to hurry up and we got to put in some testimonies there so we don't get left behind on this one. Just to show that our people, though, know what's going on, I would love to see many testimonies against from all of you. So can you repeat that for Shane Pauly?
Oh, is ainalahui.com. It's ainalahui.com. ainalahui.com. Had a caller who just called in, had a question.
Good.
He wanted to know, he said that the county was just doing some grading and gravel laying over at Kumu Camp, and he did not understand why the county should be working on private roads because it's all Hawaiian homeland roads. So I guess this was the access road into Kumu Camp and beach access. So why were there graders and backhoes and heavy equipment working on Robin Danner's road is what the
was
caller...
Was it really county or was it private contractors hired by Robin Danner?
This is just what the caller called in, so I just put in that question out.
Well, I'd like to start a rumor. Is it true what I heard that Kumu Camp is shutting down because of violations of the Department of Health with their sewer system and also because of... there being burials there.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, and she's denying it because I went to the Kauai Niihau Island Burial Council meeting where she had to do her presentation on that, and she sat there and said there are no bones there, which to me is a blatant lie. So, is it true Kumu Camp is closing down? Please tell me it's true.
Yeah, I wish. I think it's the opposite. She should be shut down. And Kumu Camp should be shut down because of their unpermitted wastewater treatment system there that was installed with no permits of any sort. You know, if it was county land, they would have already been shut down. But because it's DHHL land, the county... You know, they'll say things like, oh, we don't have jurisdiction there or this or that. And then DHHL turns around and says, but we're requiring you to get county approval. You know, so the mayor's been like, well, you know, we gotta oversee all this other stuff that we really shouldn't just because, you know, there's a lot of state interagency, hooky going on. But what I can confirm is that there is a illegal wastewater treatment system there. And from the blog, entries of guests who have stayed at Kumu Camp, even though it was supposed to have been shut down, it was actually in operation and overflowing and operating poorly, which is why guests at Kumu Camp complained about it. But how somebody gets away with all these illegal activities, and there are actually burials in there. They've been recorded with the State Historic Preservation Division. And I personally know them because I live near there, because Uncle Jose Lovell, before he passed away, told me about where the burials were.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So we had another caller just call in and say that the vehicles that were doing the work, the grading and the gravel over at Kumu Camp, all had county stickers on the side of the vehicles. So just an update there. I also want to let the listener know that as soon as as soon as Living in a Sovereign Land is over, Richard Fernandez is coming up with Sunset Jazz, so do stick around for that.
All right. Okay, so it is a county...
They were county vehicles doing the grading work.
Okay.
So I don't know. Do you know anything about that at all, Shane?
I don't. I know that entry and access has been a continuing issue there, and that at the last DHHL meeting, there was a proposal that was put forth to shut the camp down. I know because I proposed it, because it's inappropriate for that area. The reason nobody's done anything with that area over the years is because there were burials there, and only somebody who, you know, lived their life in Alaska and wasn't in Hawaii, you know, for the last 30 years would come to Anahola and think that it would be cool to build something there. You know, it's really been a travesty to see what's happened down there.
We got to do something.
Yeah.
They keep using this kind of mantra that, oh, we cleaned up the place and now we can do what we want with it. But that's not right, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's right to take care of the place and clean it up, but to then go and cut down the trees, try to cut off access to the locals, and then rent it out to, you know, foreign travelers, you know, like a vacation rental. It's not something the Anahola community has wanted. And it's been a point of contention for several years. There's a petition out there that over 300 community members signed when they started to build Kumu Camp to ask them to stop. There's a few of us in the process now of getting those signatures together and starting a new petition because it's just getting worse.
Great.
Yeah, and you know, we could be fighting on all these different fronts, and that's actually where they want us to be. Just constantly fighting, and but I think Nani kind of touched on these halavais that we're talking about. I believe in addressing the issue, and I think fighting on all these fronts, we're not really addressing the issue. We're kind of responding to different actions by this unlawful entity. You know, I really hate to say that, but that is the world that we live in, and they are depriving us of rights. And how do you move forward? We can continue to protest Naiaupuni. I think, as Hawaiian nationals, we should stand and protest and fight for our rights anytime they are infringed upon. And I highly support that and encourage everyone to stand up for those rights. However, we get back to knowing your rights. And I feel that education is the key. Like you talked about, Dr. Kianosai, emphasizing that. Without that education, do we even know what rights we're standing up and fighting for? And I think Shane Pauley is a wonderful example of what happens when you become educated. It's kind of a weird process in my own personal process. You feel like you don't have another option. You have to act. You have to do something because you now know that your rights are being stepped on. And, you know, I actually believe that this is not just a Hawaiian thing, the education thing. I believe a lot of Americans are unaware of what their rights are and their role in society. And what I would put out there
good
to everybody
point.
Listening is national identity. You know, mm-hmm. Know what national identity means to you, regardless of your nationality. And here in Hawaii, we're talking about Hawaiian nationality, but we do also have to talk about U.S. nationality because
right. They're
here. They are the occupier.
And you know, as a U.S. national, which I guess is what I am, that's what it says on my passport, but it's upsetting to me that the nation that I'm a citizen of is not doing right in the world. That makes me mad.
And let me ask you a question. Can you tell me what the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution are, Jonathan? Those are your Bill of Rights.
Yeah, I one of them has to do with that I can have as many guns as I want. I know that one.
Yeah, I'm just asking that to, you know, just to throw that out there. That most people can't.
I could not rattle them off.
You know, we're not educated in that manner through the system. We're not taught the importance of this.
Well, the government wants it that way, you know. The less the citizens, mm-hmm. more the government can get away with.
And that's exactly right. And, you know, in my experience, in my education, what I've found is that if you are a U.S. citizen, and you are a proud American, flag-waving, and you believe in your country, justice for all, and liberty, you need to be supporting de-occupation. It is it, when you get into the facts of this, what you find out is that the existence of the state of Hawaii and the U.S. presence here is in direct violation of U.S. constitutional law. And you have to be aware of what that means, because the Constitution is the defining document of a government. Yeah, that it is a very important thing, and that's what I'm touching on. Is it's important that we know what that document is and what it means, and we're in this situation because we don't know as a majority. So the education is a huge aspect, and there's a wonderful woman online that I recommend everybody find her. Her name is Chris Ann Hall, and she does a presentation on history of Constitution, and you know, the Hawaiian Kingdom utilized the U.S. Constitution and the British Constitution to create our Constitution, the Hawaiian Constitution. Mm. And in my opinion, it is the most highly evolved Constitution that exists possibly today.
Right.
But it talks about where our rights come from. Our rights come from oppressive European monarchs at sword point, basically. Mm. The right to freedom of speech, freedom of press, you know, not having soldiers housed in your house. Those are all due to oppressive behaviors by monarchs that the people got fed up with. And that's how these rights come into existence. And that's what Chris Ann Hall talks about. I don't know her politics. I don't know if I believe in everything she believes in. But it's really something that I think everybody, American, U.S. citizens, and Hawaiians.
Where did you find her, Chris Ann Hall? Is it C-H-R-I-S?
K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H. A-L-L. But that was just good information on constitutions.
So, Shane, as we're coming to the end of this show, I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of close up your thoughts and leave us with something that is really vital that you haven't touched on yet.
I'd like to start with reiterating Shane Pauley's call for people to testify in the current DOI response period.
Yeah.
And so going on to that webpage, oinalahui.com, there's a tab there for Native Hawaiians and for non-Hawaiians, which in my mind really means Americans. And there's a short form and a long form letter. Submit both. I encourage people to go there because, like you said, many Americans I know are unhappy about their government's treatment of the Hawaiian Kingdom. And the more Americans we can garner to our cause, the better. But for Hawaiians, we have to be able to understand the issues, speak eloquently about them, and engage people in the conversation without being combative. Because it's not about being anti-American. It's about being pro-Hawaiian. It's not about being angry because we lost something. Because you know what? We didn't lose anything. They just tricked us into thinking that. And so when, you know, it's like Bob Marley said, you know, oppression is in the mind. And when you change your mental state, you change the oppressive relationship. Because really, in a constitutional world, you can only be oppressed if they let you. You can be occupied, but we do not need to let them oppress us. And that comes, like Tim said, from education and knowing our rights.
And so, remembering always that we are sovereign.
Yes.
Because our kingdom still exists. And that alone makes me wonder, how the hell they want to do a Na'iaupuni when they know that our kingdom still exists?
Yeah.
Anyway, we got just a few minutes. I'm going to go to Tim for his closing remark. Are you Pao Shane?
Yes.
Okay, go Tim.
I just wanted to finish with this is a historic event that's happening right now, you know,
and in our history,
in world history, modern history, whether you acknowledge the existence of the Kingdom of Hawaii or not, Hawaii is a case study. It is becoming a case study under international law. This is a historic event. I encourage everybody to educate yourself on the matter. I think the radio shows here, Songs of Sovereignty, Living in a Sovereign Land, or Living Sovereign. And we'll take your questions. There's a lot of questions out there, people. A lot of you out there that may not fully understand, send in your questions, and we can address them on the air. But look forward to our educational events that we're going to be bringing to the community. Mahalo.
Right on. And I would like to say that we believe the Hawaiian sovereignty movement can and will produce a peaceful and just resolution of the political and legal problems created by the U.S. If it is not prevented from growing at its own pace and according to its own ideals. So, remember, you stick to it, man. We're OP to being sovereign. Our INA is sovereign. So live it, folks. Live it the best way you can, which means you're self-governing. You do what you like. Be self-sufficient. Malamara aina. Aloha ohana. Live pono. And I love you guys. Thank you for joining us. Ahui ho. Malama pono.
Aloha.
Ika pono. O Hawaii. Changes of our land. Could you just imagine if they were around and saw highways on the sacred grounds? How would they feel about this modern city life? Tears would come from each other's eyes and they would stop to realize that our people are in great, great danger now. How would they feel? Would their smiles be content then and now there's condominium.